Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Blue Moon. Welcome to the Man City Show. It's Nigel Rockband back in the chair. So we play Chelsea twice in two competitions within 3 days and win twice. However, with two very different teams and two very different performances. At the Bridge, we just got over the line by a single goal. And in the Cup, at home, we were superb at times and sailed into the fourth round. To discuss this and much more, I've got three Blues. Welcome to John Stapleton, Sarah Messenger, and Stato Paul Denby. Welcome all.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Hi, Nigel.
Hi. Listen, Sarah, kick us off, will you, please? Let's start the league game at Chelsea. On paper, when I saw the team, I thought that looked a pretty good team. But in terms of a performance, yeah, we got over the line, but it was not a great City performance on the night.
It wasn't. It was particularly grim in the first half. And I know, I'm sure there's a number of City fans who thought, oh no, this is one of those games where Pep has, in inverted commas, tinkered completely unnecessarily and got people playing in all sorts of strange positions. Look, at the end of the day, the second half performance merited the victory, a narrow one. 1-0. You know, we're at that stage of the season, you just want the points. And I think Chelsea had, you know, they're in a mess, aren't they? So they had an incentive to try and put a decent performance in. They did okay in the first half. There was a couple of chances that they had that thankfully they didn't score. And, you know, a bit of magic from Jack passing it to Grealish. Let's ignore the fact the keeper should have cut it out. We get the 3 points. There's not a lot more to say, really. It wasn't a dazzling performance, but I don't care. We got 3 points from it.
John, I thought it was a poor performance at times. I think we gave the ball away. I think too many players had poor games. Haaland wasn't in the game. I thought KDB was off it. Foden looked really out of touch. As Sarah said, yeah, Cancelo out of position, if you like, and not quite sure what he was doing there. But it just wasn't a good City performance. It was disappointing. We're allowed to criticise, aren't we, if they have an off day, surely?
We certainly are. I completely agree with you. Far from convincing performance. And don't forget, you know, Chelsea had, I think, 10 players injured and we had two more taken off during the course of the game. Sterling taken off and the American centre-forward taken off as well. After the first half, I just texted a few mates saying plan B question mark because that was clearly wasn't working what we had there. And I came away thinking we got away with that one. You know, 3 points is 3 points. Fantastic. Great win. Three points away from home is good, you know, however you look at it. But, yeah, not impressive at all. And I agree with all your analysis of the various players. Foden was out of it. Haaland wasn't up to his usual imperious self. And but for that cross by, I'm glad for Jack Grealish, who I've criticised in the past. You know, good cross, well taken opportunity there. And the goal that mattered. But I came away, I walked back home from the Chelsea ground thinking, yes, we were lucky there. We were lucky. We got away with that one.
So it's just a short walk for you. Nice. It's your favourite ground, I suppose, isn't it, that one? It's not far from you at all.
Short walk.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it that way.
Stato, your reflections before we sort of dig a bit deeper into some of the tactics and some of the selection.
Yeah, I was on the back of the Everton result the previous weekend. That first half, I'll honestly say, it was close to, if not the worst first half performance I've seen from City for an awful long time, possibly since Pep took over. I mean, there's the odd game where we lost heavily, being beaten at Leicester and Everton when in Pep's first season. But that was truly an abysmal performance. Now, was it because he was playing players out of position, and why was he doing that? Cancelo down the right wing as a right winger. Not a right wing back, he was a right winger. Bernardo coming very deep to pick the ball up. Rodri not sure whether he was defensive midfield or defence. The players didn't seem certain to how to adapt to what Pep wanted them to do. And there was a certain amount, I thought, of confusion out there in that first half. Clearly, Pep readjusted in the second half. We moved to a back four and people knew their roles much better and made a couple of substitutions. And for the first 30 minutes of the second half, we were actually quite good. And then merited the victory on the back of that 30 minutes or so. But yeah, I was very concerned that 45-minute display.
And just on that, I mean, in terms of kind of positives and trying to find some positives, even though I agree again with everything you've said as well, Stato, that John Stones was absolutely magnificent, I thought, throughout that game. He looked like a world-class defender.
He did.
I thought he was absolutely brilliant. Sorry, John, yeah.
I was just going to say, credit to Pep, you know, because actually for the first time that I can remember, he took two players off at half-time, you know, Cancelo and Walker. Now, that's not Pep's style. Previous week, you know, I criticised him for, you know, leaving the subs until the 87th minute, which I thought was a mistake. You know, what do I know? But he's the boss, but that's what he did. But this time around, you know, half-time, they were both off. And we'll come to the second Chelsea game in a minute, but it was quite interesting, I thought. That Walker was having a bad game, in my view, at Stamford Bridge. What a cracking game he had yesterday, you know, in the cup tie. Yeah, so credit to Pep for taking that decision, bold move on his part, and of course introduce other players later on, which made a heck of a difference.
But back on Nigel's point, I mean, John Stones was absolutely superb in that match. That tackle he made against Pulisic, which eventually led to Pulisic being taken off, but the block on that goal was absolutely world class.
Yeah,
and his whole performance was top draw. So well done, John Stones. He's exempt from any criticism on that game.
And you know the Barnsley Beckenbauer. I mean, he actually played like Beckenbauer. I think he was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
Just on those substitutions, Sarah, that John rightly points out, and we have often criticised Pep, haven't we? Why does he bring a player on sort of 5 minutes to go? What impact can they really have when we're kind of chasing a game or trying to get a goal? But actually, this time, as John rightly says, half time things needed to be changed. Not sure if players were injured or tired, but whatever it was, he made those changes, and it had an impact. A huge impact.
He did, and as ever, he should get credit. I mean, I don't think we often criticise Pep. We sometimes criticise him, but his attitude towards substitutes is a recurrent theme of this show and many other discussion fora where City fans are trying to figure him out. I think the thing that frustrates me the most, and going back to the first half performance, is why does Pep change the team to beat an opposition that we are better than? And you know, if Reece James and Chilwell had been fit, bombing up the... I could kind of understand him thinking he needed a plan to deal with that, if our usual way of playing. But sometimes he changes the team when we can't understand why he's changed it. And if we are the best team in Europe, which many people say we are, and I suspect all the four of us think we are, why are we the ones doing the changing, particularly when it's as bizarre as Rodri playing as a sort of hybrid midfielder centre-back, Cancelo, as you say, on the right wing? And, I mean, it wouldn't mind if it worked, but it doesn't work. And more often than not, when he takes us away from the way we usually play, with players in the position they usually should be in, it doesn't work. I struggle to think of many times where that has worked.
Well, do you know what? You ask a great question. And unfortunately, we've got two fantastic guests on the show this week who are now going to answer it for you. The first is Stato, Paul Denby. So the answer to Sarah's question is what, Stato? Help her out. She's obviously got... And John's coming next with his answer as well, which also will be brilliant as well. I'm looking forward. Stato first.
I don't know. It's bizarre. I mean, I'll be honest. I don't quite get it. And it's happened against Chelsea. Again, we all know what the big match against Chelsea where he picked a bizarre team then. I don't quite get it. I mean, big matches, all right. Anfield away a couple of times. Lyon in that quarter final in the Champions League. Just players out of position as well. The players are used to a rhythm and a method. Why put them in somewhere where they're not used to? It's maybe to fool the opposition, but it also fools the City players themselves because, as somebody said earlier on, the passing was poor at best in that first half. And we weren't moving into free spaces that we normally do, creating those quick triangles, passing the ball quickly, as we did against Chelsea in the cup match. It just wasn't happening. It's bizarre, and I'm sorry, Sarah, I can't answer your question.
Is it the fact, and we say this all the time, that the games are coming thick and fast at the moment? You know, we've got some big games. We have the FA Cup game coming up. We've got two games again this week. Players were looking tired, you could say, as well. Was that an excuse? He's got a mix of he's got such a depth of squad. He's got to give Alvarez a go. He's got to try some of the kids. He's got to surely rotate it from time to time. He's not going to play the same 11. It's not 1969 anymore, where you have the 12 blokes who play this throughout the whole season with very few changes. It's changed, hasn't it?
Agreed. But he had a good team out there. The 11 that he picked for the Chelsea league match was a decent 11. It's a positions he asked him to play in, which was the strange occurrence. I can't account for it.
Well, John can, I know. So John's going to answer. Stato can't answer your question, but John can. So John, over to you, my friend.
I can only answer it in the purest layman's terms, Nigel. But I can only imagine he wants to keep people match fit and he wants to keep people happy. You know, he's paying them God knows how much, or the club's paying them God knows how much, and they're going to get very frustrated if they don't get a game for 5 or 6 matches, you know. And I take on board entirely what you say. It's a game every three days, you know. Very few players could keep up that pace for the whole season, although Rodri seems to be not far from doing exactly that. No, I think it's just, I don't know why this is. I mean, he mystifies us from time to time, but before we run away and spend the entire programme criticising Pep, let's not forget we do have the best manager in the world.
Listen, on that note, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the positives, some of the positive performances, and then move on to the FA Cup game and the league games coming up. And that's going to be all coming up straight after this break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back. Listen, let's just talk about one or two positives before we move on from that Chelsea league game at the Bridge. He made those substitutions, and Jack Grealish, who we've all had a go at some point, but you have to say he had an impact, the boy, didn't he, John? You've got to give him credit for that. Came on, looked a different player, changed the team, and yeah, maybe the keeper was slightly at fault, but made the goal and got us the 3 points. All credit to the boy, surely.
Yeah. Full marks to Jack Grealish for that performance, yes. And in the joy on his face when he did make that contribution said everything to me. A guy who really, really wants to help and really wants to be part of the City team. No, I know I criticised him in the past, and I still think that he's certainly below par, certainly not £100 million with so far. But, you know, I'm quite happy to give him more opportunities, more chance and more time to breathe. He's a very talented footballer, there's no question about that. Maybe, you know, he's found it very difficult. He's not playing the same way that he played at Aston Villa. But he's a very useful attribute to the team, to the squad.
Also, Mahrez as well, Sarah. I mean, let's say a bit about Grealish as well. But again, Mahrez, when he gets a chance, he seems to be taking it at the moment, scoring regularly. Looked good when he came on and made a difference.
So some might say about time too.
Is that what you're saying?
I haven't met a City fan this season who wasn't pulling the hair out at the way Mahrez was performing. And his biggest fan, of course, my dad, was losing the will to live, although he's redeemed himself after Sunday. He played really well on Sunday. That's the Mahrez that we have seen. I don't think we see enough of it, if I'm honest. I don't think we ever have. But when he plays well, he's a game changer. And, you know, brilliant free kick. Good penalty, actually. He took his penalty well. But just generally, his play was good. He was being more positive. He wasn't cutting back as much. He certainly wasn't losing the ball as much as he has done in some games. So, yeah, a pat on the back. And when he plays like that, you absolutely get why he's an important part of the City squad. I think it was important he did it as well because, you know, the way he's played this season until certainly the last game and to some extent the Chelsea away game, he was struggling to justify his existence in the squad, I think.
And just sticking with the away game for a moment, Stato, the other substitute that stood out, and I don't think you've been on for a couple of weeks and maybe not had a chance to talk about him, is young Rico Lewis, who comes on and just looks a fantastic prospect. What a player he looks at such a young, tender age.
He looks fantastic. If he can continue to develop at the rate he seems to have progressed in those first few matches he's played, he'll be an incredible player. And he's already, I think, maybe I'm wrong, but he's putting a bit of pressure on Walker. and therefore Walker's performance on the cup match on Sunday was superb. Maybe that's helping motivate Walker a bit more. But yeah, he's had a great start to his career. Long may it continue. Hopefully he'll be with us for many, many seasons and develop under Pep to be a world-class player.
Thoughts on Rico, John? You obviously, we've not seen much of him yet, but what we've seen is pretty impressive.
Completely agree with Paul. Fantastic young player, fantastic prospect. I mean, he came on, as you say, we moved to Sunday by now, but he came on again. Very impressive, whether at fullback or playing in midfield, the sort of new role of our fullbacks, or so it seems on the Pep. Yeah, I mean, 18 years old, amazing local lad. What could you ask for? I think Paul's absolutely right. He's probably giving Kyle Walker a bit of a mentally, not physical, kick up the pants as well. So yeah, good stuff. Fantastic.
I was just going to say what I really like about Lewis as well, about Rico Lewis, is that often with young players, as a fan, all you want is for them to not make a terrible blunder. So as long as they keep the ball, you know, they do nice, simple passing, they don't give it away, you think, oh, you know, well done, that's great. Actually, he plays some fantastic passes. He's really incisive. I mean, I know it's because he's been coached in that way from being whatever, seven. He understands where the space is, where to play the ball, but you can really see it in him. So I think he's not only doing well and keeping us ticking over and a good standing if somebody's injured, he's actually enhancing the way we play when he's on the field. And for all those reasons, I think he's going to be brilliant for us.
I don't often sort of focus on our opposition. I just think it's relevant for a couple of reasons. If we just talk about Chelsea for a moment, I think we'll come on to the game at the weekend. And I think my favourite chant probably was Raheem Sterling, his 10th in the league, I think was probably my favourite of the weekend, which resonated and landed very nicely with me, I have to say. But more importantly, kind of Chelsea look a poor side, don't they? I mean, what's happened there? I mean, Stato, you look at these things far more deeply than I do, I know. And what's your assessment of Chelsea as a football club? Because they're 10th, they're now out of the FA Cup. I think they're still in the Carabao Cup, but that's disappointing. They're out of the Carabao Cup as well, are they?
Yeah, I think a team from Manchester knocked them out.
Oh, yeah, they might have done, yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, end of the season, and we're not even into the middle of January yet.
There's two issues, I think, for Chelsea. One, they have had an awful lot of top-class players been injured. They're missing Chilwell, they're missing Reece James. Mendy's been out. I'm not sure if he'd be first-choice keeper as well, but he might have done better for our goal at Stamford Bridge. So injuries play a part, particularly when they've lost so many players at the same time. Potter is a new manager there. He's got to adjust, bring his skill from Brighton to Chelsea. It's a big jump for him. I think he's a great manager. I think he'll do it if Chelsea give him the time to do it. But I think it's adapting to the new manager has taken them a bit more time than they thought it would do. So a couple of points there. But if Chelsea get rid of Potter, I don't know where they're going. I think they should stick with him.
And people are saying, Sarah, with the new ownership there, that with the old ownership, he definitely would have been gone probably by now. But maybe the new ownership may just give him a bit more time, and maybe looking across London to Arsenal. And I know that their manager had a difficult start, but look what's happened to him since. So he may have that chance. Who knows? I don't know when their patience will run out, whether the fans will have fans' power will take over. You just don't know how these things will work out. But they're not looking a good side.
No, they don't. I mean, Paul's right to highlight the injuries they've had. They've also done some dodgy recruitment as well. I mean, why on earth they bought Aubameyang after, he had a spell of being okay for Arsenal. But he was dreadful for the last two seasons. There's clearly an attitude issue with Aubameyang, and yet, they thought that he would be a sensible buy. I think there's a sort of a bit of a scattergun approach. And interestingly, I think Graham Potter, I thought he'd do well at Chelsea, and he may well still do. And I agree with you, Nigel. I think they should give him time. But you do wonder as well whether it's another kind of David Moyes situation where he's a good manager, but the size of the club and the expectations, unless they give him time, might mean that it weighs too heavily on his shoulders, and he ends up being a kind of a manager of somewhere like Everton, etc., where he can be a success. Bigger than Brighton, but not as big as the Chelseas of this world. Of course, they could still win the Champions League, so their season isn't completely over.
Stop it.
John, you have a view of Chelsea? I say we'll move on in a second, but I just think it's a story at the moment that lots of people are talking about.
I have to say my initial reaction is don't know, don't care. But I don't care that much. I mean, I read a piece today saying that maybe Graham Potter's a manager for the underdogs. That's why I did well at Brighton. And it's the ones he was at before, you know. And then I think Sarah was alluding to that herself, not directly, but that was the implication of what she was saying. That, I don't know. In fairness to them, that we have said already, but you know, 10 injuries for any club is a lot to deal with, particularly with players of that quality and calibre. I agree with you about Aubameyang. Why on earth they brought him back, I don't know. But we'll come on to the Sunday game in just a tick, I'm sure. But
we will. One thing just to mention before that, last week we paid tribute, sadly, to the great Pelé. And another, and because we're talking about Chelsea, we played them twice, I think it's only relevant that we pay tribute to Gianluca Vialli, who at 58, very sadly, died of pancreatic cancer. Great playing career, Sampdoria, Juventus, Chelsea, of course, and then managed both Watford and Chelsea, was an assistant manager with Italy. I mean, a great character, a great figure, and a great loss at such a young age, John.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I never met him. I saw him play several times. I was very impressed by Graham Souness, actually, who paid fulsome tribute to him on Sky, saying, you know, it wasn't just on the field he had such an impression. It was off the field too. He was a great guy. Everyone loved him. Great practical joker. And Graham Souness, actually, I was quite surprised, actually, was saying that, actually, you know, he had a bigger impact on Graham Souness than mainly any other player he'd ever worked alongside. Because he was just such a relaxed, nice, easygoing guy. So, yeah, a great loss, sad loss, a great footballer. And, of course, as he's rightly saying, assistant manager of Chelsea with our old pal, Roberto Mancini, who I think I was almost in tears when they won the World Cup, hugging him. You remember that lovely shot there?
Obviously, absolutely.
Very, very, very close for good reason, too.
Stato, your reflections?
I just remember him seeing him play when he was for Chelsea in the late 90s, I think it was. Great striker. He was coming towards the end of his playing career at that stage, but he was still you could still see he had the skill, the desire, and put 100% into the game. Obviously, I never met him, but I believe he was a lovely bloke as well. And it's very sad when somebody dies so young.
Sure. Sarah, any final thoughts?
I mean, I think the guys have pretty much summed it up. He was a player that played with a smile on his face, wasn't he? And I think those sorts of players, it, you know, helps if they're good footballers as well. But you remember them because they make football, they remind us of the joy of football rather than some of the histrionics and poor behaviour that we sometimes have to put up with. So, yeah, very sad loss.
John, let's move forward then to the FA Cup tie this weekend. And having walked home from Chelsea, you presumably had quite a long drive back to Manchester then for this one. And what a different performance. What a different City. And what were some fantastic goals. I mean, it was just a joy to behold, wasn't it?
First half was just a masterclass, frankly. I mean, that was a superb performance by City. And the thing that impressed me most of all was he was a new team, effectively. You know, a bunch of guys who I hadn't seen playing together. I'm sure someone might correct me, but I've never seen that lot playing exactly like that together. And impressive from the word go. The third goal was, thing of beauty, thing of absolute beauty. And, okay, we didn't get lucky with the penalties. We got, you know, two penalties. But having said all that, we absolutely hammered them in the first half. And the second half took our foot off the pedal a little bit. But, you know, Chelsea were rubbish. Chelsea were terrible. I mean, Chelsea... some of the half-time comments from the panel on the telly, I think were justified. They said just didn't turn up, just didn't put a shift in. And I mean, the one thing Chelsea can take away from it, I think, from that game was that some of the kids they put on did well, as they did against in the cup game at Stamford Bridge. The left back and the kid who played in midfield, I thought did particularly well. But having said that, there were no opposition. I mean, they didn't stand a chance. I thought it was the first half was arguably one of the best performances I've seen from City for quite a while.
It's interesting. We were talking about the league game being one of the worst, Stato, and John's kind of summed it quite nicely. Probably in periods, and certainly that third goal, that was just City at their best, wasn't it?
That third goal, that was City at their best. I think Walker did sort of a double jig on the touchline, put the ball over to the far side, and then the sort of almost one-touch football from that point onwards. But and the goal at Foden, the way he moved his body round to put it past the keeper was superb as well. And Walker's underlapping run rather than overlapping was brilliant. So, yeah, a fantastic team goal. A very, very good performance against, yes, a poor Chelsea team, but you can only do what you can do against the opposition that's out there. And if City continue in that vein for the next few games, and we certainly need to, I'm sure we're going to talk about the game at Stretford at the weekend, so we'll need to put in a performance like that because they've hit form. So, yeah, it's good timing. Puts me in a little bit more confident mood than having seen that first half against Chelsea in the league. So long may it continue. Although, I've got a little bit of a downer, if I can, on it. I'm not sure what's right with Foden. He scored a goal, but he didn't get in the game much. And also, Palmer didn't quite do what we know he can do. So a couple of points there that maybe that's why Foden hasn't been playing, because Pep's seen something in training that we don't see. And that's why he's not got a place regularly in the team at the moment.
Can I just come back to Foden and Palmer? Because I've got a particular point I want to put to you about him, because there has been quite a bit of criticism in the last few days about Palmer, which I just think is ridiculous. And I'm sort of declaring my hand early here, but I guess you might well agree with me as well. But there has been quite a bit. Let's just stick with the positives for the moment, Sarah, and just kind of talk us through your thoughts on, yeah, that third goal, 4-0. Could have been more, of course. I mean, 4 actually was didn't do us justice. I think there could have been 4-5, who knows, what, 6-0? Who knows? But just a really good, solid performance against, as we said, a pretty poor Chelsea side.
Well, if you were putting the ingredients for a perfect football match into the mixing pan, you'd have wanted a goal and a good performance from Mahrez. You'd have wanted a goal for Alvarez. You'd have wanted a game without sendings off or injuries for City, and a confidence booster with two big games coming up this week. And we got all of that. So, yeah, I mean, the second half was a bit of a non-entity, to be honest, because Chelsea weren't threatening us and we were certainly not going to kill ourselves trying to humiliate them, much to my annoyance. But just one quick point. If ever we had two stonewall penalties, those were them. You know, at least I'm not quite sure why VAR was faffing around so long on the first one. I mean, he might as well have caught it and put it up his jumper. It was that blatant. But, you know, it was nice to get two stonewall penalties given. So, yeah, a good day.
Yeah, I remember the days I was talking to a young person once that with a handball, I said, he almost picked it up and relaced the ball. And John will know what I'm talking about, and so will Stato. And a young lad looked at me as if, what on earth are you talking about?
Did he have dubbing on his boots?
Yeah, exactly, and nailed in studs, exactly. Relacing the ball. I remember those were the days, John. Absolutely. Listen, just some negatives then, which I kind of touched on, John. I have read and seen and heard a number of people being quite critical of poor old Cole Palmer, who I think has been fantastic when I've seen him. Yeah, he had a bit of an off day at the weekend. Yeah. Why on earth are people giving that lad such a hard time? I mean, it's just, what a great team performance. That's the thing. And it's a team game, this, and you're allowed to have the odd game. Your reflections on that, into why would people do that? Is it justified? Maybe you, someone who sits there thinking, yeah, the lad wasn't good enough, let's give him a roasting.
You say poor young Cole Palmer. You know, I mean, he's a kid. He didn't have a great game against Chelsea at the weekend. I'm the first to admit, but, you know, bear in mind his age. Bear in mind he's playing amongst a team of absolute superstars. Some fans some days make me laugh. I mean, there are some comments on following the game against Everton. I'm not misquoting people now. One fan, alleged fan, said Pep's finished, you know. Another alleged fan said we need 8 new players. I mean, come on, you know. Where did this lot come from? I mean, and likewise, it's in the same vein as the criticism for Palmer. Yeah, okay, had a bit of an off day. Give the lad a chance, for heaven's sake. You know, he's a very, very promising, very talented young man. We can truly say he's one of ours. Give it a break.
I agree. Stato, you're nodding in agreement, I think.
Yeah, I don't get it. Everybody is entitled to have a poor game, as long as you don't have many, many, many poor games consecutively. But Palmer's a young lad. He's going to have bad games, poor games, where he doesn't deliver. I'm a little concerned, I must admit, about Foden at the moment, because he's just not quite doing it. Since the World Cup, he had a decent World Cup for England, but since he's come back, he's not quite delivered when he's come on the pitch, and I'm not sure what he needs to do now to get his confidence, whether it's confidence, whether it's where he's playing, what he's been asked to do. I'm not sure, because he's clearly one of the most talented players in the country, and he's got the talent. Now it's just got to continue to deliver what we know he can do.
He hasn't had a regular starting slot, has he, Sarah? No. I guess a player like Foden, he needs that, does he? I don't know. It must be difficult sort of coming off on the bench, starting one game, missing out the next game. You know, he hasn't had a great run since the World Cup, I think, to be fair. Would that be fair? I don't know.
No, I think there is some reason behind it that we don't know of. I'm not worried about Foden. I mean, his class is there. We've seen it plenty of times. We know he loves City. I think he just needs to get back into a groove. And the whole team, I mean, De Bruyne has not been particularly brilliant since the World Cup. So, you know, whether the World Cup is still having a bit of a hangover effect on one or two of them, we'll see over the coming weeks. Just on the Cole Palmer thing, just to throw in a modicum of balance, I mean, I totally agree with John. You know, some of the ridiculous stuff you see on social media just makes you think, God, where were you when we were living the agonies of 1985 or whichever year you might want to pick? They wouldn't have lasted 5 minutes with what we had to put up with in the past. But I do think there's a legitimate question about whether Palmer, at what point does he stop being a kid that's getting the odd game and being seen as a part of the squad? And if he's part, and I think that really has been this season, and I don't think he's done anything that's made me jump out of my seat and think, wow, yet. Now, he's young. He's scored some nice goals for us, FA Cup goals. He's scored at least one in the Champions League. Maybe I've forgotten one as well. So I'm definitely not on a downer about Cole Palmer. I think he's potentially going to be a great player for us. But I do think that, the standards are high at City and he needs to meet them. And I think I'd be expecting something from Cole Palmer sooner rather than later that makes me think, yeah, he's worth the wait.
You're a hard nut to crack, Sarah Messenger, aren't you? I mean, I have to say, I think you're being really quite hard on the lad, is my view. I think he's looked brilliant, and yeah, he had an odd game, but wow, okay, fine. That you're allowed your opinion. That's why you come on here, and I love it. Thank you for that. Talking of criticism, and this is a difficult one because we're not there and we don't quite know what's going on, but we had a situation that City are, I think, sort of being investigated because of homophobic chants aimed at the Chelsea fans. And I've also seen videos of what looks like Chelsea fans throwing stuff down onto the City fans and spitting from the upper levels. And we know, just to remind people, in the South Stand, normally they get a whole block, the away fans. But for cup games, we have to give a larger percentage of seats to away fans, which is why they've been moved to the upper levels and City have the whole of the lower level of the South Stand and they get sort of more space above. And that's been called into criticism by some fans because of the behaviour of some idiots, both Liverpool as well. I think allegedly we're doing something similar. And now there's some evidence of Chelsea fans doing the same. So I suppose it's the same on both sides. Chants from City, we've had all sorts of allegations in the past about Hillsborough and Munich, which are both just terrible things to do. And we would absolutely condemn that completely. What's your view? What's going on here? Is there anything we can do about it? I mean, we don't know all the circumstances, but stupid chanting, throwing things down onto fans. I think there was a young girl was actually injured, I think, as well. Thinking as I'm talking about it as well, I saw on social media a young City fan. This is just crazy. And stewards, are they doing enough, etc.? Sorry, I've rambled on. What are your thoughts about all those things going on? Sarah, do you want to just give us some thoughts on that before we move ahead to the weekend and the midweek game?
Well, I'll give you two thoughts. One is clearly the club need to think sensibly about how you allocate, where you allocate away fans. When you've got, at the end of the day, if you're going to put away fans above the home fans, let's not be surprised when some mindless idiots think it's funny to throw something, spit, and even worse in the case of a young woman, a young girl who was hurt at the game against Liverpool. So, in a way, the club can only do what it can. It's got a duty of care to all of us, so it needs to think carefully about where it sits away fans. I'm not an expert in how they might best do that, but I do wonder whether they thought that through as well as they could do. On the homophobic chanting, and any offensive chanting, but the homophobic chanting is almost like the last bastion of what you can get away with. the one thing I would appeal to all City fans is when homophobic chanting starts, don't just sit there and kind of feel embarrassed and put your head down. Turn round and tell them to shut up. Or let's start a chant that humiliates the homophobes. Because it's the same with, you know, instead of women always having to take responsibility for their personal safety, we need men to turn around and challenge other men who are sexist or misogynistic or make offensive comments. And I think that's what we also need with some of this chanting. Let's not just ignore it. Let's not pretend or think, well, it's not me that's doing it, so that's all right. They shame all of us and they shame the club, and I'd like us all as City fans to challenge it. And it's much easier to challenge it collectively than to leave it to one or two brave people.
Sarah, brilliant. I'm not going to ask for any more contributions on that. I think you summed it up brilliantly. Thank you. Let's talk about Wednesday night, away at Southampton, then Sato. Carabao Cup, 8 o'clock kickoff, quarter final. Chelsea aren't in it, you know. They got knocked out. You know that, didn't you?
Yes, I do know that, Nigel. I think you were the one that might have forgotten that they got knocked out the round before last by City, actually. Anyway, no, Southampton away is a game.
It's been a long day, Stato.
I'm sure it has. Southampton away is a game, of course, we should win. They're poor in the league at the moment. They got a good cup win at Palace at the weekend, but if City play anywhere near half to two thirds as well as they played against Chelsea and have them put the effort in that's needed, we'll win that game. If we're off form, as we have been in a couple of other matches recently, we'll have a battle. But if we play to our capability, we win.
John?
There isn't in the world why we shouldn't win and win easily if we put out a half-decent team. And the great virtue of City is we've got such a fantastic squad. Look at that bench on Sunday. You know, it's just amazing, actually. Good call on those players, even for 10 or 15 minutes. Yeah, I've no real anxiety about that. I think it should be a breeze, frankly.
Sarah, where do you think Southampton are going to come from? Premier League survival, the priority, or let's have a bit of a cup run? Here's a bit of a chance for us to get some silverware. It's a difficult one, isn't it? It's a stick or twist for them, isn't it, a bit?
Yeah, and Nathan Jones wants to create a bond with the fans, doesn't he? And getting to a cup semi-final is a pretty, you know, it's a half-decent start. Look, any Premier League team that's right near the bottom is lying if they say that a cup takes precedence over staying in the Premier League when we know the money that's involved. But I think his home game, I think he'll give it a go. There's nothing to lose, has he? So I think I'm hoping it will be a good game. I'm hoping Southampton will attack us. I'm hoping that we'll play a decent team, although I personally wouldn't mind if De Bruyne and Haaland get another rest. We're pretty sure Rodri's getting a rest because he seems to have promised Calvin Phillips that he's starting. So, but let's go for it and get ourselves another Carabao Cup. That'd be quite nice, wouldn't it?
My only concern with Haaland, of course, he's having his worst run since he's been at City because he's been how many games without a goal? At one, yeah. It's one, exactly. Yes, yeah, so it's looking a bit tough. Anyway, we'll see. You never know. Needs to improve on that a bit, I think. Listen, let's finally just look forward to a trip to just outside Manchester at the weekend. 12:30 kickoff on Saturday. An improving Stretford team, Stato, it's got to be said. They've put in a few performances. People are talking about them as potential top four, which wasn't the case just a few months ago.
Yeah, they've played well recently. Either side of the World Cup, they've improved. They're a better team than I think when we went 6-1 up against them and let them get two late goals to put it back to a non-reflective scoreline of 6-3. So it will be a tough game. We usually do reasonably well at Old Trafford, so hopefully that form will continue. But we'll have to be in our top form. There's no playing the same way as we did against Everton or the first half against Chelsea in the league. We've got to be on that game for 90 minutes, concentrating for 90 minutes. We are the better team of the two, putting out a decent team, which I'm sure Pep will do. It's going to be a tough game, but it's one that we're very capable of winning. But I'm not going to say we'll win it. As I've said, we'll beat Southampton. It will be a tough game. It's Derby weekend, of course, because our other rivals for the title, Arsenal, have got to play Tottenham as well the weekend. So it's two tough games for the top two.
And it's not a must-win, is it, just yet, John? I mean, I know we're in January, but we're not even halfway through the season yet because of the break that we know for the World Cup.
No, I'm thinking it's going to be a draw, actually. I mean, everyone's right. I mean, United have improved immensely since the start of the season. I do think they will finish up in the top four. They've got a, you know, more than a half decent team together there. And it's always a tough call for us. I personally think, you know, wouldn't do any harm to rest to De Bruyne against Southampton, keep him fit, keep him sharp for the weekend. And if that was the case, if he's on form, we're in with more than a fighting chance. So I'm looking for 2-2.
Okay, and finally, Sarah, your thoughts ahead of the derby at the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I much as I want us to spank them 5-0, I think John's right. I suspect it will end up being a draw, which I don't think is a bad result for us. I'd take that. So, I mean, I'd take a win even more, but I'd take a draw at this stage of the season.
Fantastic. Huge thanks to my three guests, to Paul Statto-Denby, to John Stapleton and to Sarah Messenger. This is Nigel Rothband saying thanks for listening and we'll talk to you all very soon.
If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.